We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie Nora.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. They were once called health classes, but for the past few decades, it's been called simply sex education. And depending on where you live, it's often a politically charged topic, especially when it's part of the curriculum in K through 12 schools.
But there's a case to be made that all of us could use a refresher course, particularly as our situations change over the course of our lives. We get older. We could have a chronic illness that affects our sexual expression. And then there are the people who don't fall into the traditional sexual paradigm.
All of those dynamics can make things complicated if you are a healthcare provider. Organizers of a conference held next Monday at Alverno College are specifically working to educate healthcare providers about integrating sex and patient identity questions as part of their practice.
Lucky Tomasek is a sexual educator at the Tool Shed, and Ashley Altadonna is a Milwaukee-based transsexual filmmaker. She'll present at the conference. Tomasek talked more about why the discussion is important.
The conference is about opening up the dialogue between patients and clients and their healthcare providers of every sort, so doctors and nurses, physical therapists, chiropractors, anyone that you see on a fairly regular basis who's got kind of a say in how your healthcare is going to proceed, open up a dialogue about sexual health, sexual pleasure, and identity issues, which I find people are really uncomfortable trying to talk to their doctors, their nurses about those things. And sometimes it seems that medical providers, you know, having grown up in America too, are just as uncomfortable trying to open up those conversations as well.
Do you think that sometimes medical professionals are uncomfortable because they don't know what they can say or how far they can go?
Right. I think that's a big part of it. I think a lot of times when they're looking at a patient or a client, they're not exactly sure what they're seeing. And I think that we used to live in a world where we felt pretty safe assuming that everyone was one of two genders and everyone was one of a small handful of orientations, and that their acts of pleasure probably all went forth pretty much the same way. And we've learned in the last 10 or 15 years that that's just not the case, that there are so many more orientations than three or four. There are so many more genders than two. There are so many different kinds of ways that people pursue pleasure that are just kind of mind-blowing if you haven't had the exposure before. So I think they don't always know what they're seeing, and they're uncomfortable asking for clarification.
So why is knowing those things about a patient important for a doctor, a nurse, a physical therapist, a chiropractor? What are the kinds of care that they'll be able to provide that they're not already providing?
So this conference is going to look specifically at four different populations. It's going to talk about sex and seniors, sex and the disabled, how to make somebody's practice, their clinical practice, friendly to transgender people, and also something that we've been lovingly referring to as people with diverse backgrounds, which specifically in this case is talking about people who participate perhaps in kinky play that could leave marks on their body, but it's consensual and it's fun and it's the way that they want their life to be. When you reach a certain age, as the doctors like to tell you when you go in for various health problems, once you've reached a certain age, you need to change your expectations. And I think people don't want to change their expectations anymore. I think people don't want to stop having sex at a certain age. There are many, many people who think that disabled people probably just don't have sex and they don't even think about the sex lives of people with disabilities. And I can tell you again, from working as an educator, people with disabilities are having plenty of sex and they have.
And if they're not, they want to be.
Exactly.
Right.
And they have the right to that, and they have the right to get good, accurate information about that. And then kinky people, people with diverse sexual backgrounds, are often afraid to go to the doctor, even for normal things, if they've got any kind of bruises or marks, and especially if they've obtained any kind of small injury during a consensual act. They're afraid of abuse charges or their partner being charged, or even just being ridiculed or made fun of, humiliated. And then Ashley really can talk to the other population that we're working with.
Yeah, so with transgender patients, obviously when you go in, you are going to be looking for the best care that you can get. And having medical providers that understand the needs of transgender people is just critical. And there's a real lack of information out there and understanding.
And I think probably because there is a range of transgender experience, you could be completely transitioned, you could be in the process of transitioning, you could be in any number. It's very fluid in that way. So I imagine that any one practitioner might come face to face with a lot of different possibilities and be confused about what they're supposed to do.
Right, exactly. There's a whole range of transgender people, transgender identities, and they come from every sort of background, every sort of orientation.
In your experience, have you had both positive and negative experiences with medical professionals that have prompted you to become part of this conference?
Sure. So early on in my transition, when I was just first starting to deal with my gender dysphoria, I went to a provider here in town just to get some information because I didn't even know what was going on with me. And, you know, I knew that I was probably transgender, had just very recently kind of accepted that for myself. And when I went to this provider, they were basically like, we can't help you. We are not equipped. Luckily, they were able to refer me to a really great organization out in Brookfield that was just absolutely fabulous. So I feel like, yes, there's been both like good and positive experiences in the healthcare that I've personally received, just in general healthcare, and then also related to my transition and transitional needs.
How does Milwaukee do with helping people make that kind of transition? We tend to think, I think those of us in the straight community tend to think of it, oh, well, that happens in New York or that happens in L.A., it probably doesn't happen much here, but I'm probably wrong.
It happens all over.
Yeah.
It happens all over.
Yeah. And so how are we doing?
I feel like that's hard to say. I feel like I've had a pretty positive experience, but that is something that, you know, is totally going to be dependent on the individual and what doctor that they end up going to, the support system that they have in their own lives. And so I feel like I've been very fortunate for the most part with the healthcare that I've received here in Milwaukee. But I don't want to generalize it and say that that's
true
across
for everyone.
The board. Right.
Right.
We do have an amazing nonprofit here in Milwaukee called Forge. And they work specifically with the trans community and on trans issues of all kinds, trans health issues, trans legal issues. And they're one of the best organizations in the country. So they're doing great work. And we're grateful to have them in the city. If anyone needs a resource, they're great. Nonprofit, you can find them on the internet. Like they have such a good, big private presence. We work at the Tool Shed, which a lot of people think of as a place you can go buy sex toys, and you can, but we're actually the largest supplier of gender expression materials in the country as well. So the trans community in Milwaukee kind of, we see most of them, I think. They float in and out at various points, which is wonderful for us. And we have people who come in who make road trips from all over the Midwest to come in, and then we do, you know, we reach out to people online too. So we have a couple of really great resources in town for trans folks, which is great, I think, especially for a city of this size. I don't know that all cities this size are going to have that kind of access for people.
Well, one of the other populations you talked about was seniors.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you hear and that prompted you to include this population in this conference?
This actually, you know, how work gets personal sometimes and they overlap. I am not technically a senior citizen, but I have a chronic autoimmune disease. And when I started having problems with various parts of my life, including sexual health, I was told really frequently, like, well, there are things you just have to let go of. You know, your body's not going to be as interested. You need to lower your expectations. And I remembered friends of my mom's who were married and they were in their 50s and their 60s and their 70s and they were still clearly very much enjoying each other. And I just felt like that wasn't an okay answer. And I felt like I was already being kind of shuttled off in a way. And working in the store as an educator, we talk to people frequently who come in who are either too embarrassed, and I think there's an age thing involved there where there's really strict lines about what's private and what's public, or people who go in and ask and they're again told like, well, you know, as you get older, you're not going to do these things or you're not going to want these things. So we do talk to people all the time who are either having just health problems, but even not health problems, just kind of like, I still want this and I don't know how to do it anymore. Like my body changed and I want to keep up. So a few years ago, I was at a conference and I got to hear one of our presenters speak about sex and aging. And she just kind of blew my mind with her forthrightness and how frank she was and still managed to keep the conversation really respectful and topical about how, yeah, people who are over whatever age we're going to demark senior citizenship at want to have sex and can have sex. And you might make modifications to what you like to do, but you don't have to give up. And I started putting it together with my own experience, and the wheel started turning. And we decided early last fall that we wanted to bring Joan Price, that's the speaker, to Milwaukee. And then we thought, you know who needs to hear Joan Price talk is doctors. And we ended up building this entire conference around this first kernel of we need to talk to doctors about sex and aging.
So and it's grown out to these other populations as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Who else needs kind of light shone on their situation?
Now, Ashley, you are a filmmaker. And so I'm wondering, I'm sitting here listening to Lucky talk about this, and I'm thinking, is there going to be a film about this? Are you planning on filming this, first of all, just for posterity? And are you planning on doing any kind of work with it?
Actually, for the last couple of years, I have been working on a documentary called Making the Cut, which is really looking at the issues of trans healthcare and a lot of the issues around insurance coverage for trans procedures. So I definitely think that I'll be doing some sort of taping, at least during my speech at the conference. But yeah, for sure.
I bet it would be interesting to get doctors and other health professionals' opinions about it, particularly after they've gone through some of the workshops and sat through some of the conversations and presentations.
Right. And in the documentary that I've worked on, you know, I've talked to a lot of like medical providers and surgeons and things like that. They emphasize, again, the need that there is for transgender people to have ready access and knowledgeable care. I want to say that there was like a study done in 2011 that said that I want to say almost like a third of the trans people surveyed delayed care just because they didn't feel comfortable in healthcare settings, or they had felt like they had been discriminated against in some way. And another 50% of the people surveyed said that they were having to educate their own providers on general basics of like transgender information.
And it is not just the doctors, it's the receptionists and it's everybody, the lab technicians, it's everybody who works in a practice.
Well, and the practices are structured in such a way to kind of engender that discrimination, even unintentionally. We talk about microaggressions a lot when we're talking about LGBTQ plus people. And these are things that are said and done that are often not intended, but that still cut pretty deep when you take them all together. So the way that a lot of medical practices are set up are to only allow one gender on a chart or to only allow one name on a chart. So while you have the organs that come in a person who's assigned female at birth, while you still have a uterus and ovaries, there's a certain number of procedures that you might have. There's a certain kinds of ways to care for the physical body that you're in, even if it doesn't match your gender. And so you are marked in the chart as female, even once you are clearly presenting as a man. And your name may have been Carol, and now it is John. And the receptionist comes out to call you back to the room, and she says, Carol, and you stand up to a room full of people who think you don't look anything like a Carol. And so it's often not an intentional thing, but that's one of the things that Ashley's session is going to talk about, is how to institute changes in a practice to help minimize those little things that aren't intended but still cut pretty deep.
And add up,
yes,
I think.
Exactly. To people not seeking care.
Right. Right. Okay, so quickly, tell me when this is.
The conference is Monday, April 4th, and it's actually a part of a larger week of sexuality education that we're doing for the city of Milwaukee called Milwaukee Share, and we're very excited about the whole week. So this is kind of our big, really big event that week, but we're doing lots of other great things too.
Now, this is obviously geared towards medical personnel, but can somebody who isn't attend?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody
so anyone who's interested,
right.
You know.
Anyone who wants to come can go to the website and sign up.
Okay. Terrific. Well, gosh, I wish you the best of luck
with it.
And thank you so much for coming in and telling us about it as well. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Ashley Altadonna is a Milwaukee-based transsexual filmmaker and a presenter next Monday at the What Aren't They Talking About? Sex and Identity in Clinical Practice Conference, which is being held at Alverno College. Lucky Tomasek is a sexual educator at the Tool Shed and an organizer of the conference. You do not have to be a healthcare provider in order to attend. There is more information from a link at WUWM.com. And that wraps up the show today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for being with us. And I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
Fresh air comes your way next, so stay tuned. It's 11 o'clock.